You know, the world was set up for the first coming of Christ, wasn't it? What does the book of Galatians say in chapter 4 and verse 4? It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son. Jesus did not come into the world at just any time. He came into the world at the right time. The world was set up for the coming of Christ. For one thing, people were looking for the Messiah. Luke 3, verse 15 tells us that. For another thing, the right language was in place, the Greek language. And God used, I believe, Alexander the Great in the intertestamental period to spread the Greek language over the known world, because the Greek language is one of the fullest dialects known to man. In English, we have one word for love. In Greek, there are, I think, four words. Eros, phileo, agape, and storgos, correct? And so it's just a deeper dialect, and that was the right language to record the depths of Jesus Christ and the revelation of God's Son. And after Alexander the Great, Rome came to power, and they put in together a universal road system. And there was something called Pax Romana, relative peace, and the gospel could travel quickly once the incarnation of Jesus Christ happened and the church was formed. And so if the world could be set up like a chessboard for the first coming of Christ, then why can't the world be set up like a chessboard for the second coming of Christ? See, before you go and you watch a basketball game, the bleachers have to fill up with fans. Someone has to start selling popcorn. The referees have to come out. The teams come out. They do their layup drills. And you look at this and you say, well, look, the stage is set. A basketball game is ready to start. That's largely what happened with the first coming of Christ. It's largely what's happening now. The world is being set up prophetically for the fulfillment of the end time drama. And I believe that even us, this side of the rapture, can step back and see it happening. We can't set dates, but we can see very clear trends. So are there clear trends preparing us for world government? I have a few to share. I'll go through these fairly quickly. One is elite thinking. When I say elites, who am I talking about? I'm talking about movers and shakers and people with influence. John Lennon sang about the New World Order in his song Imagine. He says, imagine a time where there will be no countries. See that? That's a rebellion against the doctrine of nations that was established at Babel. No religion, no heaven, no hell. No possessions, that one cracks me up because he died a multi-millionaire several times over. Everyone living for today and the world is one. Henry Steele Komager, a globalist, says the inescapable fact, traumatized by the energy crisis, the populations crisis, the armaments race, and so forth, is that nationalism, as we have noted in the 19th and much of the 20th century, is as much of an anachronism today as it was with states' rights when Calhoun preached it and Jefferson Davis fought for it. What's happened in America is the individual 50 states have less and less power. And the true source of power is Washington, D.C. Komager is saying that needs to happen on a global scale. The individual nations need to bow to global government because that's the only way to solve global problems, in his mind. Now, if I didn't have the light of the Scripture, I would probably think the same thing. Just as we know or should know that none of our domestic problems can be solved within the artificial boundaries of the states, so none of our global problems can be solved within the largely artificial boundaries of the nations. People say, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. Listen to this. This is David Rockefeller. For more than a century, ideological extremists have seized upon well-publicized incidents to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim we wield over American political and economic institutions. Some people believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States, characterizing my family and me as internationalists, and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure, one world, if you will. If that's the charge, I stand guilty and am proud of it. That's not conspiracy, that's reading his memoirs. That's what he said. You can get the book and read it yourself. I've got the page number there. Page, what is that, 405? The dominant religion, at least today in America, is humanism. Humanism has a doctrinal statement, much like a doctrinal statement of a church, where they set out their beliefs that man is the center of all things. They say, we deplore the division of humankind on nationalistic grounds. We have reached a turning point in history where the best option is to transcend the limits of national sovereignty and to move toward the building of a world community, a system of world law and world order based on transnational federal government. There it is in black and white, Humanist Manifesto. Here's an interesting conversation that took place between Leon Panetta and Jeff Sessions. Sessions asked Panetta if he could initiate a no-fly zone in Syria without congressional approval. Again, our goal would be to seek international permission, and we would come to the Congress and inform you and determine how to best approach this, whether or not we want to get permission from Congress. Panetta said, Sessions says, I'm almost breathless about that, Sessions said. What I heard you say is we're going to seek international approval, and then we'll come and tell the Congress what we might do and what we might seek, and we might not seek congressional approval. Panetta explained that if U.S. forces are working as part of an international coalition, then the administration would want to get the appropriate permissions, which he said is something that all of these countries would want. Sessions pressed the issue and asked what entity the administration would seek permission from. Sessions said he was all in favor of international support, but added that he was baffled by the idea that somehow an international assembly would provide a legal basis for the deployment of the U.S. military. Sessions responded that international bodies provide no legal support to deploy U.S. military into combat operations. What he's saying is, here's how we're going to do business. We're going to go and get international approval, and then we're going to come to the Congress and tell you what we're going to do. And we might not even come to the Congress. So what just got bypassed in the whole process? The will of the people. Congress is responsible to the people. But you see, I just show you these quotes to show you the globalist mindset that's out there. You ever heard of Bill Ayers? Known terrorist, one of Barack Obama's very good friends. He writes in a lecture, or says in a lecture, the great challenge to our generation is to think differently about citizenship, to think differently about what it means to be a citizen of the world. One of the great dangers is that we live right now is that the American empire is in decline, and that economically and politically and in some ways culturally, we are in decline and the game is over. Now what? We've got to teach these kids to think globally, not nationally. That's what he's saying. This is how the elites think. They don't think like you do. They don't think like I do. They look at nations as the problem. The answer is world government. Another trend is our educational system, setting the stage for world government. Abraham Lincoln said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. Here's a quote from Charles Francis Potter, 1930. Education is thus a most powerful ally of humanism, and every public school is a school of humanism. What can the theistic Sunday school teachers, meeting for an hour a week, teaching only a fraction of the children, do to stem a five-day program of humanistic teaching? They told us back in 1930 that they're going after the kids. And they're going to use public education to do it. Now, we sit around here, mostly gray-haired people in this conference, and I praise God for every one of them, but we say, where's the young people? They've been stolen. The humanists told us they were going to steal them. And we read their statements, we never took them seriously. They said, we're going to beat the fundamentalists who only have them for an hour a week in Sunday school. We're going to get them all week long.